was recently listening to Desert Island Discs, and the person cast away on the desert island was, you probably know from The Repair Shop, Jay Blade. Do you ever watch that? And I heard him talk before, and he spoke and he told the same stories that I'd heard before. And I realised that his turn of phrase was the same way I heard him speak before. And I realised, listening to him, that when we tell our stories, the stories of our lives, they sort of get set into a way of telling them. He talked about the man who contributed to his birth, because he never really knew his father, and he didn't want to call the man who had contributed to his birth dad, because he wasn't a very good father. He talked about the way other people had looked after him and treated him all nice like a son, and fed him lots of good Caribbean food. Now, I've heard these stories before, and I recognise the turns of phrase, because almost all our memories get set into like a photograph in words. We all have them. I'm sure you can, afterwards, see if you can think of ones from your family. Here's a couple from mine. When I was small, I got a younger brother. I still have a younger brother, but he's up here. But when I was small, he fell over in the dining room and put his head through a pane of glass in the door to the balcony. And he wasn't hurt, but my mum said the only thing she could think of doing was to vacuum his head to make sure she got all the glass out. And then I remember another story where, just before he went to school, he decided to get a pair of scissors and hack a lump out of his hair like that. He'd give himself a haircut. Well, mum thought, what can I do? So she took him down the barber's and got a really short, they'd call it a short back and sides in those days, really short hair. When she came back up the road, well, Auntie Murphy, who was one of the neighbours, everybody was an auntie when I was small, or an uncle. She said, what have you done to that child? You know, she was actually appalled. And she had a good go at mum until she found out why it was that mum had done it. I can't remember whether I actually remember those events or whether they were told as stories so often in our house that they became part of my memories. You've probably got ones like that as well. They get fixed like a photograph in front of me. And I looked at today's Old Testament reading and I realised that this was one of those memory moments, those things that are fixed like a photograph or a script in front of us because they're so precious. God teaches the Jewish people when they get to the promised land, they're supposed to take the first fruit to the altar, hand it to the priest, and then there's a little speech that they learn that goes, a wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down to Egypt to live there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation. So on and so on and so on. It gets fixed. Those words that they're to use gets fixed. So every time they go, they use the same words. And the words and the telling of that story solidified into something so remembered, so ingrained in their heads, that they'll be able to do it over and over again and remember it. It becomes hardwired in them, a bit like cleaning your teeth at bedtime. And the Jews were always really good at doing this in their teaching. Like in the Passover, every year they told the Passover story when God rescued them from Egypt. They told them in the same words so that it was like, it became a memory not just of the individual, but a memory of the whole community. We've got that too in the Lord's Prayer. I bet if I started Our Father, you'd all be able to say the Lord's Prayer without a bit of paper in front of you, wouldn't you? Yeah, we do. It's hardwired. It becomes part of our memory because it's so important. It was given to us by Jesus to be our family prayer. And in the communion, which we'll celebrate in just a few minutes, We repeat the story in the same words, week in, week out. Even if the words and the prayers and the hymns around it change, those words we say at the communion always stay the same. In the same night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when we hear those words over and over again. Jesus told us to do this in memory of him. And the formula by which we celebrate aren't magic words, but they're a way of it becoming our story. That's our story. What we do up there at the altar week by week is our story. We retell our story so it becomes hardwired into us. We will do it in remembrance of him. And the longer you go to church, the more hardwired the memories become. I recall visiting an old people's home in Morton, which was one of the parishes that I used to have. And each year we'd go down there and we'd sing carols with them every year. And there were a lot of people in the top floor who had dementia. And I saw an elderly lady with her son sitting singing the carols. And after a while I noticed he was sobbing. And I thought, oh dear, he's upset. So I went over to him and said, you know, your mum's got a good voice and she knows all the hymns. And I said, but are you all right? And he said, well, she hasn't spoken for nearly a year and she doesn't even remember who I am. But she remembered the carols. She remembered those familiar words over and over again. So something, some light triggered in her. And these memories are created by re-singing, retelling and reenacting, which is why our repetition at church can feel a bit boring sometimes, but it gives us a resource for ourselves and as a community that we can use even when our memories go a bit. They give us a common source of shared experience. Now, I can't go back now to my parents and say, tell me the stories of my childhood, because sadly they're no longer with us. But they've given me a real gift. They've given me those memories, solidified, as much as if they give me a box of photos or a video. And in our repeated words of our liturgy, in the hymns and prayers that we have, we've got that same resource. So that even when you can't see the words, even when you can't read anymore, even when perhaps you can't remember your own name, we've still got those in our minds and they're so precious to us. And that's why it's so important that we share our stories with other people as a resource for our children, our grandchildren and children in the community. Nativity stories are really special in this way, really important. And I know that you get some schools coming into church, don't you? And if you were able to help them to retell the stories of Christmas, about the birth of Jesus and God's love for us, it's really important that they hear those stories. I know it became fashionable at one point to try and jazz the story up a bit. You know, spacemen and octopuses and all sorts of weird things in the story. But it's really important that we tell them the story. Maybe as a church we need to be confident in telling that Christmas narrative, not worrying about whether it's the old way and the old words. Can anybody know what this sentence is about? Sorry. In those days there went out a decree from... Anybody heard that? Now what comes next? Caesar Augustus, yes. When you've heard that story a lot of the time, which is part of the Christmas story, is it Matthew? David, you're better at remembering than me. In those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. I've told that so often, I can remember. You can remember as well, well done. If we use the words, if we use the same story, because that story is so important. Giving children real Advent calendars with pictures of Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus instead of Teletubbies or whatever. It's not Teletubbies now, that just tells you my age. But whatever the current thing is, you can still give them a real Advent calendar with Mary and Joseph and the baby on, and give them some chocolate on the side. If you can't find one with chocolate in, chocolate seems to be obligatory these days in Advent calendars. The Easter stories may be a bit more difficult. Fluffy chickens and eggs are easier to cope with for small children than perhaps a story of the crucifixion. But children can cope with a story about a man whose friends run away and are killed by nasty men who don't like what he's saying and what he's doing with people and helping them. And then God brings him to life again to show that death isn't the end. They see much on the television. Don't worry, children are amazingly resilient. We don't have to go into all the gory bits of the crucifixion, but we need to maintain, I think, our confidence that these stories need retelling, because they're what Christianity is about, and they're the stories of God's love for us. Perhaps we need to reclaim our core stories and not let familiarity breed contempt, and not let the secularised world hijack the great acts of God's love for us. And in a moment we'll share in perhaps the greatest story in communion, Jesus leaving us bread and wine, something that's celebrated by Christian communities all over the world, given by Jesus who wanted his disciples and every disciple down the ages to remember and tell his story. And as we celebrate this act together, let's enjoy our common stories as precious as family memories, so that we can confidently share them with others.